Thank you, Bill, for those good hymns that you chose out tonight. If you will, let's turn once again to Ephesians chapter 5. Four weeks ago tonight, we ended our study here in this passage in verse number 7. And for the last three Wednesdays, Jonathan has brought messages to us out of the book of Ecclesiastes. This passage, of course, is dealing with the child of God's walk or way of living in this world. If you look back to chapter 4, this is where he began speaking concerning our walk in this world. Chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith you are called." We speak of this calling, this call, as God's effectual call, God's irresistible grace. And we know in the Scripture it is also spoken of as a high calling of God, when God calls a sinner, a holy calling when God calls a sinner, and yes, a heavenly calling, because one day he will call us into heaven itself. Now let me point three things, three truths out to us from these verses tonight, and basically they are all found in verse 8, the first verse. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." First, notice there is a reminder in verse 8, the first part. You were sometimes darkness. He's writing to God's children, to believers, to those who have experienced the saving grace of God. And he reminds them that you were sometimes darkness. Consider these two truths with me about that one statement. First of all, when he says you were sometimes darkness, there's no exceptions. He's writing to all believers, and there are no exceptions. You were sometimes darkness. He addresses the children of God. And he doesn't need to qualify that statement in any way. There was no exceptions. It is not some of you were darkness. It's not the majority of you were darkness. It's not even a small minority of you were darkness. No, without any qualification, this is true of every child of God. You were sometimes darkness. What did Paul mean by that? You know, I used this verse of Scripture one time in a message, and one of the brothers told me later, he said, "You know, that really is something. We were darkness." He didn't just say we were in darkness. That's true. But no, he said that we ourselves, we were darkness. Yes? What did he mean by that? Well, if you look back into chapter 4 and verse 18, he had used this before. In verse 18 of chapter 4, he said, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." It simply means you were sometimes darkness. It simply means that every person, because of the fall, because of Adam's disobedience and our fall in him, he was our representative, that we all come into this world and our understanding is darkened. And we are ignorant in spiritual matters. Now, many men are very educated and very learned, even geniuses. But their mind is darkened in the things of God. It's true of all men. Men may be highly intelligent and learned in many natural things, but not in spiritual things. This truth, you know, this truth was immediately displayed to us in what we are told about Adam. Our father Adam, who was created in the image of God, who walked in light, and yet just as soon as he disobeyed God, just as soon as he sinned, he fell, and we see his mind was darkened because the first thing he tried to do was to hide from God. To hide from God, who he knew. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. Before, he would have never thought it possible to hide from God. God is a spirit. And yet, just as soon as he sinned, his mind was darkened, and he tried to hide from God. And not only tried to hide from God, but he tried to cover his nakedness with fig leaves. And you know that what that is representative of. It's man trying to make himself acceptable unto God. It's man trying to produce a righteousness which will allow him to come into the presence of God and be accepted, to be reconciled unto God. You were sometimes darkness. That's one thing that is included. Man comes into this world, and his mind is darkened, and because of that darkness of mind, he is ignorant of the things of God. A second thing to consider is this. You were in a kingdom of darkness. Not only were you darkness, but you were in a kingdom. Now, he's writing to believers, right? He's writing to people who knew the Lord, who had been saved. And this is a past tense. You were darkness. You did have a mind that was darkened. You were ignorant in the things of God, the spiritual things about God. And not only that, you were in a kingdom of darkness. Satan is called the prince of darkness, isn't he? The prince of darkness. And it's true that every person, every lost person, is under the dominion and power and rule of Satan. Look over to Colossians. Not only were you darkness, did you have a mind that was darkened, but you were in a kingdom of darkness. In Colossians 1 and verses 12 and 13, the apostle said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We were in darkness, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from the power, the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the power of darkness, and thank God, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You were sometimes darkness. Second, so there is first a reminder of what they were. Now, the apostle, there's a reminder of what they are. Present tense, writing to these believers. Now, notice our text, Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Now, present tense, are you light in the Lord? Don't you love these passages of Scripture which speak to us of what we were, but now? What we were, but now. For instance, back in chapter 2, remember? Chapter 2, when he said, and you hath he quickened who were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins, But now, notice verse 4, but now, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. But now, you were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Look at another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous, think about it, the unrighteous, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now, he lists a number of things, a number of sinful actions. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, there it is, past it, such were some of you. Now, someone might say, well, preacher, I've never been guilty of any of those things that are listed there. Well, first of all, you'd probably be lying. Maybe outwardly you would have never been guilty of those things, but in your heart, but think about this, we were all unrighteous. The scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what you were, unrighteous. And many guilty of some of these things, maybe some of all of these things. But now, what are you now? What are you now? Now you're washed. Now you're justified. Now you're sanctified, and all in the name of Jesus Christ. All through his person and work. We are now, back in our text, we are now light in the Lord. I wonder why. I thought about this the last day or two. Why the apostle dealt with this matter of darkness and light as much as he did. Why he wrote this in so many of his epistles. And I thought possibly maybe to help people to come to an assurance of salvation. How does a person know if he is light in the Lord? You cannot see without light, right? That's something you must have to be able to see. People say, well, I'm not sure if I've been born again, if I've really been converted. Let me ask you something. Can you see your sinfulness? Remember the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand and perceive the things of God, the kingdom of God, the gospel. Can you now see your sinfulness? A lost person doesn't see his sinfulness. A lost person will justify himself. Can you see Christ as the only way? Can you see tonight that in Christ you are accepted in him, that his blood cleanses you? Yes, his blood cleanses from sin. His righteousness justifies before God. Are you now light in the Lord? Can you see now what you couldn't see before? Are you able to say with John Newton, I once was blind, but now I see? Are you? You are now light in the Lord. You were darkness. Now you are light. Number three, what's the result? Walk. Now walk. Walk as children of light. Now, as we go through these next verses, I want to take one word out of each verse and deal with that. Verse number 9. He says, you were darkness, now you're light, walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The word I take out of that verse is the word fruit. Fruit. And this should remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 15, I'm sure you're familiar with the passage, he spoke of himself as the true vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. And let me read that, John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, think of Christ as the root, the Holy Spirit as pictured by the sap in the vine, and believers united to Christ as branches, bring forth fruit. And the fruit that is mentioned here is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Notice that in the text. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the Spirit produces this, as John Gill, he made the comment, where the Spirit of God is, there will be more or less appearance of these fruits. Goodness has to do with our relationship to others. Goodness, our relationship to others. Righteousness, our relationship to God. And truth against hypocrisy and lying. So, walk as children of light. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. That's what the apostle said. We cannot bring forth any fruit that God will accept that he does not produce in us by God the Holy Spirit. The second verse, verse number 10, is the word proving in this verse. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And this points us to the Word of God, the written Word of God. Proving what is acceptable. We are to prove all things by the Word of God. If we're to walk in the light, then we are to prove what is good and acceptable to God with or through the written Word of God. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Remember that first psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Proving. We must be in the Word of God. If we're going to walk as children of light, we must be in the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. The next verse, verse 11, is the word fellowship I wanted to use. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And you must notice that the apostle says, have no fellowship with the works of darkness. He didn't say with the workers of darkness. You know, there's was a time in the history of the church when men evidently understood that to be have no fellowship with the workers of darkness, and so they headed for the hills. They moved out into caves and places like that, thought that they could disassociate themselves from workers of darkness. No, the Lord isn't saying here, have no fellowship with the workers of darkness. We live in this world, and we live among workers of darkness, sinful men and women, just like we were. Our Lord, remember, one of the things the religious people accused him of was that he eateth with publicans and sinners. Can you imagine that? He eateth with publicans and sinners. They didn't recognize that's the reason he came, to save sinners. No, it's not have no fellowship with the workers of darkness, but the works of darkness. It is the works of darkness. That it, what are the works of darkness? Sin. Sin, that's what it is, sin. With which we are to have no fellowship. Well, how do we have fellowship with the works of darkness? Well, first of all, we are engaged in those works of darkness. We are sinning, have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We have fellowship with the works of darkness when we engage in the works of darkness. And not only that, but when we approve of them, when we approve of them. We are rather, according to the apostle's word here, to reprove the works of darkness. How do you do that? How do you reprove the works of darkness? Well, first of all, by living a life, a consistent life, before the workers of darkness. By testifying by your life, by your lifestyle, by walking in the light. And when appropriate, then reprove them with words. But remember this, it's the works of darkness that we are to reprove, not the workers of darkness. I was speaking with someone here just a week ago about this, sort of like this, about being angry at things that we see. And I said, we're not to be angry at the people, but at their actions, at their sins, yes. Reprove the works of darkness. Reprove them by a lifestyle that is different. And when opportunity presents itself, yes, even with your words. Now, the fourth word is the word speak in verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You notice the apostle doesn't list the sins, the various sins, the works of darkness intended here when he said have no fellowship with them, because they are shameful deeds. They are shameful deeds. So shameful, he says, that it's even a shame to speak of them. They do these things in darkness, because they are shameful things. Some of us, most of us, probably can remember when there were sins that people were ashamed of. And now they have parades and are proud of the sinful works. Deeds of darkness. Paul says it's a shame even to speak of those things. Over the years, you've heard people give a testimony. They call it a Christian testimony. Sometimes they just try to outdo one another on telling how wicked and sinful they lived. You know, no need to tell us all about that stuff. We all live with a sinner. Every time we look in the mirror, we see one looking back at us. We've all got thoughts that go through our mind that we are so ashamed of that if they were going to be exposed on this wall behind me, if mine were going to be exposed, I'd be out of here pretty quick. I'd be so ashamed. Wouldn't you? It's a shame to even speak of those things, Paul says. Don't speak of them. You know, I think it's true about false religion, too. We've got the truth. The Lord's entrusted us and given us the truth. These are the things we should speak. Speak the truth. Speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those other things, you know, leave that for someone else. All right, here's the fifth word in verse 13 is the word manifest. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It's a property of light to make things known. This is true in things natural, and it's true in things spiritual. Believers are the light of the world. I know the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am. It's one of those great I am passages where the Lord confesses himself to be Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal God. I am the light of the world. But he also said this in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world to his disciples, to believers. Believers are the light of the world, and we are to walk as children of light. And as we do so, we make manifest by our conversation, by our walk, we reprove without ever opening our mouth. We reprove the deeds of darkness. All right, number 14. The sixth word is the word awake in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. You know, I was reading, as I do normally, various writers, and John Calvin, he applied this to the ongoing preaching of the gospel, by which he said, men who are dead in trespasses and sins, hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Now, that's true what he said there, but it's difficult for me to see how Paul is going through this speaking to believers, to Christians, and then all of a sudden he veers off there talking to lost people. No, I believe that he's still speaking to believers, even when he says, awake, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's best to believe that he's speaking of believers who through sloth, through negligence, through unconcern, whatever it is, we go to sleep. We go to sleep. And I know this, that in the Lord's parable of the ten virgins, you remember five of them had oil in their lamp. Five of them had the Spirit of God living in them, but five didn't. But all went to sleep. All went to sleep, didn't they? No, I think this is just like that verse in Romans 13 and verse 11, which also is spoken to God's children when he wrote, and that knowing the time, it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You say, what does that mean? Well, now, tonight, my salvation, your salvation, is nearer than when you first believed. Right? Your salvation, when the Lord calls you home. It's nearer tonight than it was back whenever. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan, he had Christian go to sleep at one point, didn't he? He was going up that hill, difficulty. And it was difficult. And then he came to that place, there was that arbor that the prince had prepared there for pilgrims to find repose and rest, and because the journey was so difficult. But when he went in there, he went to sleep. And you remember when he was awakened, he left there, but he left something very critical. He left that roll there. He made it on up the hill, but he had to come back. And I believe just recently in one of Spurgeon's morning and evenings, he mentioned the fact that for most of us believers, when things are more difficult in our life, when we're having trials and problems, we're less likely to go to sleep spiritually than when everything seems to be going along smooth. Because when we're in difficulties, usually we're more engaged in seeking the Lord, seeking His help. I know that's true in my life. I do. All right, here's the next to the last. Here's the seventh. The word circumspectly in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. One of the teachers that we had in Bible school, I think, Walter, you had already graduated when he came there to teach, but he explained this verse like this one time. He said, just picture a cat walking on a clothesline. And there's a Doberman pincher dog on this side and a German Shepherd dog on this side. And that cat is putting his paws down very circumspectly. He's walking very carefully. Walk be careful where you walk, where you step, in other words, where you go. And then the eighth, the last word, is the word redeeming in verse 16. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. That is, using the time that God gives us, using it wisely in serving Him. I pray that the Lord would bless these thoughts and words to each one of us here tonight, and God will help us to walk as children of light. All right, Bill, if you will, let us sing a hymn, please. We'll be dismissed with the singing of the hymn.